3:14-15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know that you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So here we begin to get an understanding of the church, not only its foundation, but what is being built upon it. Because upon every foundation, pillars have to be brought forth. And so he says here, the pillars and the ground of truth. So these pillars are grounded by the truth of God's word, applying that wisdom, that understanding. Let's turn also to Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So here again, Jesus pronounces and says to Peter, upon this rock I build my church, or my called out people. And he goes on to say the authority that the church has, and he gives him the keys of the kingdom of heaven to bind and to loosen, in other words, to take authority over the powers of darkness that would try to destroy the body of Christ, that foundation. But of course he's already promised, because he says the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Satan will try and attack it, and we see that right through history, church history, but he will not prevail. And right in the context of the next verse, we then see our position as warriors, how that we can take authority through the armor that is given to us over the powers of darkness, to bind and to loosen. In other words, to come against the strong man. That is what fundamentally means. So here we get this real understanding, don't we, of these seven pillars. Of course, it's taken after the type of Solomon's temple. But we have those pillars, those spiritual pillars. And we make up also that spiritual type of pillar. We've been shown by the Lord that he's raising pillars, spiritual types of pillars, in these last days. And it's always a sign and an indication that it will stand, These pillars are resolute. They go deep. They are there to take the weight of the roof, the building itself, this spiritual building. A pillar can take a tremendous amount of weight. That's the architectural purpose of why one has pillars set in buildings and so on, in which to be able to build from, so that you can build a roof. And so we are likewise types of this. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we now see that this temple is a spiritual temple. And it is a temple that's made up of believers who are baptized, called into the body of Christ, into that local assembly which is autonomous, with Christ as head over it, with the ministries that God would bless it with. We know that in Ephesians 4 that the apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher is all for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and so on, for its maturity. And of course, each one of us is set in by the Holy Spirit in which to function in that local assembly. And that is why that every member's presence is so important, as we have read here, because we are the temple of God. We make up that spiritual temple, that gathering of people unto his name. This is how God has chosen to manifest himself. No longer in a temple made with bricks and mortar. It is in and through you, as we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, manifesting in the gifts of the Spirit and so forth, and with the ministries that God places within it. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. So these are experiences that we should be having as believers, if we are standing upon the rock of Jesus Christ. We are set into the local body to function. These should be some of our experiences, that we are groaning within ourselves. We're waiting for heaven with this, those sojourners passing through. We're looking up. We're looking away from this world and wickedness. These should be the experiences that should be happening within our lives as we're making ourselves ready and overcoming things. Clothed our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. In other words, death will finally be put down. It's been dealt with at the cross, and it will be finally dealt with. So that is what we're escaping. That is what we look towards. That's why we look upwards. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing of God, who also has given us a spirit as a guarantee, so that we are always confident, knowing that while we are in the home, in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And that is what the church, the spiritual church now in that sense, is to do. It is spiritual, but it is also visible. By where two or three are gathered together, there am I, Jesus said, in the midst of you. And that is why we believe strongly that the Holy Spirit places belief in that body, which is autonomous, which comes under the headship of Jesus Christ, under the blood of the Lamb, and not under some man or organization or control, which sadly we see so much today. And we see in this gathering something in Galatians 2 verse 9. I'm giving you these scriptures so that we can see that wisdom is restoring the house of God, because that's what we're looking at today. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. And when Jesus I've got it wrong here. But Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, if we look just quickly at that, we see in the times of restoration, we see clearly in Revelation chapter 1 verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you, peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and so on. So again, we get this idea of pillars, the wisdom, the mind of God, the Holy Spirit ministering, these pillars that give the security, the building work of this church, God's church, his body. And hence, of course, the ministers in the church. Now, going back to what we're looking at in Proverbs chapter 9, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. So this is the mind of God that we've been looking at. This called out people now, a gathering of God's people, of like-minded of spirit, standing on this foundation, this church that is to be seen a light in the world. We see that it's hewn by these seven pillars, which speaks of this foundation of which we stand upon. And then it moves on, doesn't it, in verse 2. She has slaughtered her meat, she has mixed her wine, she has also furnished her table. Well, this gives us some insight, doesn't it? This gives us a clue, because this is for all who wish to come. That is what it's revealing. And sorry about that. Let's turn to Psalm 23 verse 5. Psalm 23 and verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. We can also read in Psalm 36 and verse 8. Psalm 36 and verse 8, of which says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. So we begin to see what God gives us in his house, in his body, that foundation that he's laid, where the saints born again of the Spirit coming together in fellowship and unity. He gives us fullness in his house, or at least that's what we should be experiencing. And then we get more insight in this if we turn, there's a lot of scriptures, but I want the scriptures to speak on this. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. Isaiah 25 and verse 6. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. We're getting an idea of a marriage supper, aren't we? What he's preparing for the overcomers. You see, we see the bride in the New Jerusalem, which is interesting, in Revelation 22. All this he's preparing. He's gone before, he said, I go before and prepare a place for you. He's in preparation, preparing for this great trip that's to take place in heaven. Revelation 22 and verses 9 to 11. Revelation 22 verses 9 to 11. Then he said to me, see that you not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren the prophet and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to him, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy. So we see that God is working this within us. He's getting us prepared. He's working that spirit within us. This is why we need to be born again. This is why we need to have a right heart and spirit, so that we're kept from this defilement, so that we can be preserved for this great event that is going to take place in heaven. We see something also in chapter 21. Let's look at verse 9. Here it speaks of the New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. And he said, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So here we get again this glimpse of what comes out, the bride, the Lamb's wife. She made herself ready. She's there throughout eternity. What a privilege that is, to be a part of that. Let's see also in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we look at verses 2 and 3 of 22, verses 2 and 3. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a match for his son. And we know the story where he sends his son out and they kill him. That shows how grateful they are. This is why it takes grace. This is why God has to open our ears and eyes and heart. Not all are seeing the call to overcome in this last day. Not all are experiencing that they are destined for the throne. Not all are crying out to be part of the marriage feast, which is soon to take ready to be part of, to be called away, to be raptured. Not all see this, sadly. We know this. as we hear, as we listen to sermons sometimes, you talk with other Christians, it doesn't make us any different in that sense, but you soon pick up that they're not ready, they're not preparing, they don't see it. They're still like those ostriches with their heads in the sand. This is why God is making so much now about spiritual warfare, because in our warfare we are preparing the ground, we are paving the way, we are moving forward, we are coming against hindrances, forces, powers, principalities that are trying to stop the bride from making herself ready. This is why wisdom is restoring the house of God. And if you have wisdom tonight, then wisdom will know what to do, because it's working the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. Well, looking back in Proverbs 9, which we're looking at, it says in verse 2, she has mixed her wine. Now, the idea of this is that wines that were prepared for guests in those days, they were mixed. They were worked upon. And spices and herbs were added to these wines. We get some idea of this in the Songs of Solomon. In Songs chapter 8, Songs chapter 8, verse 2. Yes, Songs chapter 8, verse 2. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to instruct me. I would cause you to drink of the spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate, and so on. So this was what was done for weddings and special occasions. It was the best of wine. I'm reminded of the first miracle that Jesus did at Cana at the Galilee, at the wedding. And that wine, when they drank it, was the best. So here we get this understanding of what God gives us. He gives us of the very best that we can grow and flourish by. This is why the Word of God is not a burden. Because we look back in these this mixed wine, she has also furnished her table. This is back in verse 2. So this idea of furnished her table means preparation in heaven, a future heavenly dwelling. It means that God, as we've said before, has gone to furnish a place. But we can also have an inkling of this. We can have a taste of it now. We know this because Jesus said, "Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we can start to have a foretaste of what we are destined for. This is what's so wonderful. We have evangelicals saying, no, you can't have anything here now. It'll all be when you get into heaven. That's not what the Word of God says. We can have a foretaste before we go to heaven. The spies, when they came back spying the land, brought back what was there for them to taste, to see. How will we know otherwise? So we're getting a foretaste of what we're destined for in glory. Hallelujah. And that's why it says here, she has also furnished her table. That banquet that he calls us to now. Not when we get into glory, but we can partake of it spiritually now, in this life. That's what's so wonderful about the deeper life that God has revealed and shown to us. Well, let's carry on with this in verse 3. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Here we have the ministers of the Word of God and those in the house of God who are called to be witnesses, to share in the gospel, the good news. Maiden speaks of purity, and wisdom gives purity. It means also that we keep the Word of God pure and undefiled. So this is how we get this understanding. She has sent out her maidens. That speaks of purity, it speaks of virgins. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Notice that God places the message of the word, the teaching, the gospel, he places it in those highest places where it will be heard. Now don't try and get your mind into that or understand it, but God knows those places in which the word will be heard. We know that because we would not be here tonight. So he moved us in those places of which we can hear the word of God and respond and have faith as a result of it. But that's what he does. Let's just turn back to let's turn to Psalm 123 and verses 1 to 2 of 123. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maiden to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. The nature of God's word, its teaching, the anointing, should always cause us to look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the Word of God should always do. It should never be pointing to the minister or to the ministry or to the one who's delivering it. The vessel should always be pointing God's people upward, looking to Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. And that's what it means here. That's these maidens who speak of purity of virgins. That's their ministry, their role. That is your witness. That is when you share the gospel of the good news. You present Jesus Christ, not yourself, not even in those first days, what God is doing in a sense in your life. We tend to think that giving our testimony will bring somebody to Jesus. It seldom does. I never limit what God can and does do. It is the Word of God. It is pointing to Calvary, to the cross. It is revealing why Jesus came and the purpose and so on. He's the one that we exalt and lift up. That is turning their eyes to wisdom that will give them understanding. And that's what God is preparing us for. This is why we're praying now for the harvest, but we're above all that the laborers, you, I, are willing to be used. And we have to press in for this. This is why it's going to take prayer from the body, prayer intercessions, yes, with fastings. Because there's a harvest there. We're told it's there. And it's up to us whether we embrace it, whether we want it, whether we want to be a part of it. And if we have Christ in our lives and we're born again, then nobody in their right mind will say no to that. Because that is what's healthy, that is what is spiritual, and so on. So that's what we look to. And it goes on. Back in verse 3, and it, she cries out from the highest places of the city. There's her gospel, there's her message. She cries out. She's not silent. She's persistent. She makes it known. It's crying out. This is important. We can't hide this. That's what it's saying, brothers and sisters. That's why we're sent forth by the Holy Spirit. See, wisdom proclaims the gospel of salvation. That's what wisdom does and will always do. It will not hold back. It will cry it forth. It will speak it out when need be. And that's why God is going to place on us that boldness that is needed. The enemy doesn't like Christians that are bold in the faith, proclaiming this good news. He'll try and hinder and stop, and he'll try and work fear. Well, you can't say that. Imagine what the consequences will be. They'll turn away, they'll reject you if you say something like that. But that's what we're to proclaim. And that's what he's working with, brothers and sisters. Well, we move on, don't we, into verse 4. Whoever is simple, let him turn in. So it means those who are misled. It's those who've been damaged. Those that are bad, sinful, have had wrong advice. Those who've had bad role models and so on. The highways and the byways are filled with those people. Wrong parenting, bad fathers, confused, oppressed, depressed, and so on. We are under attack, brothers and sisters. The world is rapidly falling away. We are seeing medical science, NHS can't cope with it. Young people becoming oppressed, suicidal. Many people now hearing voices. These are demons coming forth from the pit in these last days. People are oppressed, possessed by demons. We know because we even see them looking out of their eyes. You hear demons speaking now out of people in the streets, at work, or whatever it is. That isn't them, that's demonic forces speaking through them. We need to have our ears and eyes open, brothers and sisters, to what's going on. And that's what it says here. Whoever's simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come. And they will turn, because that is the harvest. And they are there. They're ready to be brought in. But they will respond not to religion, but they will respond to the grace and love and mercy of God. That is what they will respond to, those out in the highways and the byways. They will not respond by you taking your denomination to them, or you taking some minister to them, or whatever it is. They will respond by your life, how you live, how you speak the word of God, the good news to them. This is why the gospel is a good news to this dying world. And we need to present it as a good news. It's not presenting about you and what God is doing for you or what he's done for your family. They need to know that Jesus Christ died for them to deal with their sin, that they can be restored back in fullness to God Almighty. That is the good news. Now that may sound very elementary. That may sound, well, what's new about that? But implementing it, allowing the Holy Spirit to work that, is a completely different thing. And a lot of churches are failing in evangelism today. But we are not of that spirit. We see the warnings. We see what is happening, and that is why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Wisdom is Restoring the House of God. For wisdom shows us that a lot of what we are seeing is not the wisdom of God at all. It's man's wisdom. It's his good ideas. It's his thinking. It's fleshly, carnal. That never saves people. Jesus never presented his ministry in that way at all. He certainly didn't to his people Israel. Well, let us turn back. We're looking at verse 5 now. Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. So the feast is not to be, or just to hear, but to partake in. So the gospel, the word of God, the deeper life that we teach, is not just merely teaching, but it is teaching that is produced experientially, so that we can experience the love of God, the mercy of God. We can experience his provision, yes, even now in this life. And that's why we thank God for our food that is laid on the table. This is why we thank God for our brothers and sisters that we can share and have fellowship with, and be able to sing together those wonderful songs and choruses and hymns of the love of God, that we can experience the unction of the anointing that God sets in the body of Christ that helps and teaches us and builds us up in the faith and so on. All of this is to be experienced in this life. It's not something that we're coming into. Of course we are. We can't even begin to comprehend. But we can start to experience in this life now. There's something wrong when a believer is not experiencing the wisdom and guidance of God in their life. God speaking to us in the diverse ways that he does. See, Christians today want voices. They want a prophecy. And they're victims to the enemy getting in and confusing them and deceiving them. We know that God speaks in many, many ways. And when he is speaking or getting your attention, he will work in many ways until you finally know the way that God is leading and guiding, or what he's trying to say to you. And when you become aware that God is trying to get your attention, you then talk to him about it, and then you ask for further confirmation until it's absolutely clear and clarified. So many Christians go out of the will of God because they've gone by an impulse or a feeling, or somebody has said something, or they listened to a sermon, oh, that had my name and address on it, and yes, as a result of what I've heard today, I've got to now sell my house and move to a different country or whatever it is. Christians have done that. That's not how we walk with God. God will always confirm and reconfirm until you know, and then he brings you to that place when you finally take that step, that walk, that direction that he shows you. Again, it's wisdom. That's why we're calling our teaching Wisdom is Restoring the House of God. And we get it as we meditate in the Word, as we listen to the Word, as we get in prayer, and we wait upon God. Much of our life and walk is waiting on the Lord. A lot of Christendom hasn't a clue about what it means to wait on God. They want a feeling. They want an emotion. They want to get things going. They want to be in control of building the house of God. Hence the problems that we have, the divisions that we have. We have to learn to let Jesus also be Lord. because that's what he is. And so in verse 5, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. So this feast is not seen or here, but to partake in glory. It's the bread of wisdom. It's the bread of life. And that bread of wisdom, that bread of life, is your spiritual bread that you partake of. And that bread that you partake of will also give you healing, deliverance, salvation, which is the whole gospel message and teaching. That is its nature. But it says, drink wine I have mixed, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. This idea of foolishness means simple. It means to go in the way of understanding, to go in the way of revelation, of wisdom. In other words, flesh and blood cannot reveal these things to us. This can only come by the Holy Spirit, who imparts the revelation of God's word to us. So that's what he's saying here in verse 6, forsaking foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Foolishness is being with other Christians who don't want to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Sadly, there are professing Christians really you should not fellowship with. They are not seeking the kingdom of God with all their heart. They will lead you astray. Many ministries and ministers will lead you astray. But Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And you clearly test any Christian, any ministry, by where Jesus is. Is everything that they are doing and saying for the kingdom of God pointing to Jesus and lifting him high, that he is seen in everything? That is the testing. And forsake foolishness, forsake them, and go in the way of understanding. And the only way we understand, brothers and sisters, is by the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has come to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. We will not know otherwise. We can assume, we can apply our human intellect, but the human intellect has to be taken above the natural to be taught and to understand this revelation. So the house of God, God's church, that rock that you stand on as a believer, is being built by wisdom. Wisdom is restoring the house of God that she may stand and be seen in these last days. And she must prepare, because the powers of darkness and the Antichrist that is soon to be revealed is coming with great vengeance to try and destroy that foundation, for he hates it. He's going to come and try and reveal a counterfeit foundation, a counterfeit church. He's coming declaring himself that he is the Messiah. So we have to have that wisdom. We have to walk very close with the Lord and with each other and under the ministries that God calls us to prepare for these last days, because our warring now is not against flesh and blood, it's against powers, principalities, dominions. There are forces, there are demons now that are out to try to destroy your faith, your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are demons that are there trying to deceive you, to cause you to look away, working through fear, anxiety. Remember the teaching I gave on Sunday? They are some of the forces that the enemy tries to work in believers, in fear and anxiety, worry and all those things. But we're told if we seek first that kingdom, everything else will be added to protect, preserve, keep you in the faith, fully looking to the Lord Jesus and none other. Let wisdom restore and build the house of God. Heavenly Father, again tonight we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, reading your word. And we know that we stand by faith. And that is what you have chosen that each of us should do. That is your mind and your wisdom. You never make a mistake. Lord, we thank you tonight that none of us are in this room by chance, but we have been drawn by the Holy Spirit. Father, may the Holy Spirit have his way in our lives. Give us those ears and heart to hear your truth, your word. For you have said, Lord, that if we know the truth, then the truth will set us free. It means a freedom to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. A freedom to be able to look to Jesus, to seek the kingdom, whatever the attacks may be. We know, Father, that we are a threat to the powers of darkness. We know by Satan's suggestions. We know by the attacks. We know by the trials that we go through. But we have a myriad of promises that you will never leave us or forsake us. That we are firmly in the palm of your hand. Your love will never divide us from your love. So Lord, thank you for this. Thank you tonight, Father. Thank you for my brothers and sisters coming into this room. Lord, I pray you bless, preserve, and always keep them. Keep them, Father, from the evil one, from temptation, from self. Keep them under the blood of the Lamb, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Victory, and Jesus is his name. Christ.